coast to coast all across the United States and Canada. This is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank serves as president of the Christian Research Institute, a ministry that is here because truth matters. To contact our resource center toll-free, just dial 888-7000-CRI or find us online at equip.org. And now to start today's Bible Answer Man, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Want to mention as we open the broadcast today, God's Design for Sex again, available for your ongoing work and contribution towards what we do as a ministry, a discernment ministry, allowing people to become so familiar with truth that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, they recognize it instantaneously. And also allowing people to make the transition from truth to life. It is not enough to know the truth. We can even now experience the life of Jesus Christ. Because when we are believers, we have not just a changed life, we have an exchanged life, the very life of Christ within us. Again, this ministry is a ministry that is equipping people to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. The resource, God's Design for Sex, is so important on so many different levels. One of the chapters dealing with the darkening of our minds, the whole issue of pornography, and of course, millions today view pornographic magazines, DVDs, websites, every single month. And this is not just a secular problem. It is prevalent among Christians. And pornography, because it has impacted the church, is destructive in so many different ways. It creates dependency. It causes disruption of the one flesh union. It results in a distortion of thinking that weakens the ability to relate and function. Bondage to sexual sin is a tyrant that will demand more and more territory, and therefore it must be overcome. By choosing to do battle now, you can avoid a full-scale war later on. And again, in this chapter, you find out precisely how you can win in the struggle against pornography. So much more in God's Design for Sex, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. And please be generous. I'm reminded as I think about generosity of the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where he says, "Brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service of giving." Paul later on goes on to say, "Remember, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion." Why? Because God loves a cheerful giver. And this service of giving, is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it's also, says Paul, overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. So again, as you give generously. Don't give to get, but give with a grateful heart and recognize that this is an opportunity to extend His kingdom, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to one of our resource consultants standing by at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. A lot of you hanging on right to the phone calls. By the way, the number to dial to get your question answered, 888-ASK-HANK. First up, Lily Sioux City, Iowa, listening on KTFC. Hi, Lily.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I have recently joined, well, I haven't really made the commitment, but I was going to join a church, and I'd only been going a couple of months, and I got active in everything, the Bible studies and everything. Got to loving the people a lot, and it's very hurtful for me to say this, but we have a disagreement with the Trinity at the Bible study. The pastor said, I hope none of you believe in the Trinity. And I was just stunned when he said that, and he said, you can't have three equal parts. Then his wife chimed in with her opinion that if you had three parts to the Trinity, you'd have a three-headed freak. And I was just appalled that she said that. I mean, it's been very hard for me, but there was another matter, too, that came up, and it was about sin consciousness and how we shouldn't be conscious of sin anymore. We don't have to repent of our sins anymore because Jesus died for past, present, and future sins. And that we don't have to be sin conscious anymore. This whole thing just hit me like a ton of bricks, Hank, but I've left the church. I just don't know where to go anymore because I really thought this was a full gospel ministry. And I just didn't expect this. Can you tell me where this is coming from? I know what ministry they came from. I really don't want to say it over the air because I think it's a very reputable one that they got licensed in. But
I don't think
this came from that ministry. I'm just...
Well, Lily, you may have heard me say this before, but every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God, and what you hear here is a caricature of the Trinity. The Trinity has nothing to do with parts, as it were. What the Trinity says is that there is only one God. So Trinitarians are fiercely monotheistic. We only believe in one God. But the Bible teaches that there are personal self-distinctions within the Godhead, such that the Father loves the Son and the Son sends the Spirit. This is the essence of the Trinity, that there's only one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct. And even when we talk about persons, again, we're talking about self-distinctions within the Godhead, subject-object distinctions, if you will. So the idea of the Trinity is something that is apprehended from the Scripture. So the Scripture very plainly teaches that Jesus Christ is God, for example, or that the Holy Spirit is God, or that the Father is God, and that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct. And yet the Scripture teaches that there's only one God. So what the Scripture is teaching us is there's one God with respect to his essence and three with respect to his person or personal self-distinctions within the Godhead. Now, I can't fully comprehend that, but I'm finite and God is infinite. How can the finite fully comprehend the infinite God? So what I do is I bow my knee before God's self-revelation of himself to me. Now, if the Bible were to say that there is one God and there are three gods, not making a distinction between ontology and person in the sense that I defined, then obviously there'd be a contradiction, but that's not what the Bible says. So the Bible doesn't give us a contradictory image of God, but it gives us a mystery that's beyond our wildest imaginations, and this is precisely what we want with respect to God. We don't want a God that we can fully comprehend. We want a God that we'll spend an eternity seeking to comprehend. And so, again, we bow our knee before God's self-revelation. Yes.
But I've been a Sunday school teacher, you know. I'm 74 years old now, so I'm not teaching Sunday school anymore, but I was very much into it when it came to time to teach for Pentecost, and I prayed, and I really sought the Lord, how am I going to explain the Holy Spirit and the Trinity to my children so in a way they can understand? And his answer to me was, take an egg.
Well, that's not true, though.
You
don't want to take these illustrations, because what I've just communicated is that God is beyond our ken, and every single illustration from the triple boiling point of water to the universe itself, which is time, space, and matter, they all break down at some point when it comes to the Trinity. And that's why I say we're far better off saying, look, this is what God has revealed to us in His Word, and we can demonstrate that the Bible is divine as opposed to being merely human in origin. Also, you mentioned this whole aspect of sin. Well, we are told that we are to confess our sin. If we don't need to confess our sins, then the Bible would be an error to tell us to confess our sins. And yet that is precisely what the Scripture says. We are to keep on confessing our sins. And when we do, He's faithful and just, says John. He will forgive us our sins, purify us from all unrighteousness. But if we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His Word has no place in our lives. So, yes, God has forgiven all of our sins, but that does not mean that we should not ask for forgiveness daily, because positionally we are accounted righteous before God. Practically, we still struggle with the sin nature, and if we want to have union with God, we ask God in repentance to forgive our sins and know that His righteousness covers our unrighteousness, but we still have that sin nature, and therefore, to enhance our communion with God, we must daily confess our sins.
There still is a need for repentance.
Each and every day, of course.
In my life, there is. Maybe somebody else is living above it all, but I know in my life, there are little things like the disrespect for my husband that I feel convicted about. And I'll have to go and apologize to him for that. And I'll not
yes,
just repent to God, but to my husband.
Yes.
I think there needs to be more of a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit in the church. Not this teaching would promote less.
Yes.
I mean, it would. So am I right to leave? And was I right to leave?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you do not want to be in this church. This church is a church that's probably a church that's associated with Oneness Pentecostalism and some other aberrations that have been fed into the entirety of the mix. But yeah, you definitely do not want to be in this church. This is a church that is denying an essential of the historic Christian faith.
Thank you so much, because my husband's had an awful hard time with me. But he's 80 years old, and he's got some problems with, you know, mentally. And he's just really been upset with me because we left the church. But I felt like I couldn't, if it was something I could compromise with, it would be different. But I just can't feel that I can compromise with this.
Well, you have done exactly the right thing. You know, there are always two options that you have in these kinds of circumstances. Is one, you can stay and try to affect change. But it sounds, given what you have described in the prologue to your question, that would not be a likely outcome. I think you're therefore justified in finding a healthy, well-balanced church. You're never going to find a perfect church, as you well know, Lily, but you can find a healthy, well-balanced church where you can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and where you can serve in good conscience, where you can give in good conscience. This is not one of those churches.
Thank you so much, Hank.
Bless you.
You helped me tremendously.
Well, thank you, and I'm sure you should probably find a church in which you can continue to teach, because I have no doubt that you have a tremendous amount to offer. And so often when we get older, and I'm certainly in that category now, you find that you have much more to offer because you have life experiences, your well is deeper, and that's when you ought to be teaching. And I think that given your brokenness in teaching, that adds to the mix tremendously in terms of God's use, because God uses broken vessels. And when He breaks us, we become so much more usable in His kingdom and for His glory. So I hope that you will find a place to teach within a healthy, well-balanced church.
you, Hank. Thank you very much. God bless you.
God bless you, Lily. And wow, what a touching call. I'm so happy to have had that kind of time with Lily. She's underscored something very, very important, and that is we can't compromise when it comes to essential Christian doctrine. I mean, this is the very foundation on which the gospel rests. It is the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. It is the North Star by which the Christian church has set its sail. And thus we may never compromise, confuse, or in this case, outright contradict the essentials of the historic Christian faith. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember that the Equip app is now available on Android. You can listen to live broadcasts, you can listen to archive broadcasts, you can read articles, and you can listen to Ask Hank features. Again, available on Android. We'll be right back in just a few moments.
When it comes to sex, Hollywood can't hold a candle to the Bible. After all, God intended sex. So why not read about it in His Word? God's Design for Sex helps you do that, and Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you this powerful new CRI publication. It's our thank you for your financial support of this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your copy of this important book when you call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. We'll be right back with Hank Hanegraaff after this. Let's talk about sex. God's Design for Sex. That's the title of a must-read new CRI publication that equips you with biblical truth about this vital subject matter. The truth is, our Creator purposed sex to be pristine and pure, and He gave us guidelines about sexuality in His Word to make our joy complete. But how do we reclaim a biblical view of sex in a world that's prostituted and perverted this beautiful gift? God's Design for Sex explores the answers from Scripture of how to do just that. And Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you a copy of this important book to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call and request your copy of God's Design for Sex today, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org, equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Mention the word sex, and what comes to mind? A risque pop star, racy magazine, or scandalous movie? Well, how about the Bible? That's right, the Bible. The Creator of all things has given us guidelines about sex in His Holy Word, and the new CRI publication, God's Design for Sex, helps you learn just that. Hank Hanegraaff says we need to know the truth about sex, not so we can thump our Bibles, but so we can compassionately and respectfully communicate God's parameters about sex, so that our joy and others' joy may be complete. Hank wants to send you a copy of this important book, God's Design for Sex, as a thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call and request your copy today, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org. you hear the word sex, what do you think of? How about the Bible? If you don't, then you should. And the new CRI publication, God's Design for Sex, shows you why. Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you this important book as our gift to thank you for your financial support of this Bible Answer Man broadcast. To request your copy, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to the phone calls. Next up is James, listening in Seattle, Washington, on KCIS. Hi, James.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I just had a couple questions about, I find myself lately spending too much time being skeptical of, you know, everything, you know, spending hours on hours searching for answers, you know, almost searching for answers for God's existence by without, you know, spending time with God. And it's really put me in a backslide. The last month or so, I mean, I haven't been praying nearly at all. I find myself even questioning it completely, you know, stop going to church. But it's really put me down, you know. And it's one thing because I want a relationship so bad, but for some reason, something is holding me back, and I don't know what to do. I've tried reaching out to, you know, the church that I go to, but sometimes they say that they're too busy, or I don't know. I mean, what do you think about, skeptics and, searching for answers, you know, other than, you know, in the Bible?
Well, a couple of things I would say. First, let me deal with this macro issue. I mean, for me to tell you, let's say you want to excel at golf, and you're a beginner, and I say to you, you know what? Just go play in the Masters, which is perhaps the most prestigious of all the golf tournaments, or go win the British Open. If you really love golf, go do that. That would be absurd. There's no way that you could do that. What you are better served to hear is that you should start doing the very things that creates the Christ life in you, which is to say, you ought to be an apprentice or a follower or a disciple of Jesus Christ, and that is to imitate what Jesus did. Through prayer, through getting into the Word of God and getting the Word of God into you, through exercising solitude and silence, through fasting, to again become an imitator of Jesus Christ. And through doing that, you will become Christ-like. So you can't become a disciple of Jesus Christ unless you do the things that Jesus Christ did. Secondly, in terms of searching for answers, I think it's good to search for answers. Not only good, but I think it's useful in the economy of God to search for answers. I have searched for answers on a wide range of issues over a long period of time, and I see that that search not only edifies me and encourages me in the faith, but also allows me to edify, exhort, encourage, and equip others in the faith. Let's look, though, at what we do know, and we can know this with certainty. We can know that there is a God. That's not something that can be stated just for Christians, but for anyone. In other words, the heavens declare the glory of God. God's eternal power, divine nature, clearly understood through what has been made. So if you look at the universe in which you reside, you know there is a God. The outward evidence is overwhelming. But God has also written a knowledge of himself on the tablet of your heart. And therefore, as Jesus would say, we are without excuse. in that he says light came into darkness, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. It's not that there wasn't enough light. If there was, we'd have an excuse. But we love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Now, what's really interesting about that is we not only believe in this God because of the external evidence, but we believe in God because he has revealed himself in the person and work of Jesus Christ and then demonstrated that this Christ was, in fact, God because he had the power to lay down his life and take it up again. So the resurrection is a certainty, not something we believe through blind faith, but rather something that we comprehend as a result of faith and evidence. And then we have the Bible, which demonstrates itself to be divine as opposed to merely human in origin. Now, with that as the backdrop, we at least have certainty that there is a God, that Jesus Christ is God, and that he's left us with a satisfactory revelation to answer the deepest needs and questions in terms of both our faith and our practice. So we have a bedrock. We have pillars and posts that we can cling to. So our faith won't be shaken in the midst of asking questions or seeking answers. And again, God doesn't allow us to do that gratuitously. He's put that in your heart so that you will be equipped. And as a result of being equipped, you can use what you've learned to reach others. So I think that may be, in fact, a very good thing in your life.
Yeah, I mean, I agree completely because, you know, so, you know, I've read some of your Creation Answer book, and it's incredible, by the way. But I, you know, sometimes I almost find myself when I am doing, you know, backing up my faith because I've, you know, some of my friends are pretty big atheists. So sometimes, you know, when I want to confront them, I want to have, you know, my answers. But sometimes when I am doing my searching and researching and I almost find myself becoming a skeptic and becoming, it's almost like when I do the research, I'm almost questioning myself. So it almost kind of scares me now to look for answers, you know, when I see it from both sides.
Well, I can tell you though this, and I've been at this for a long time. It ought not to scare you because the longer I've been at this, the more I realize that even when I'm troubled and I can't seem to find an answer, in the end, there always is a satisfying answer. And this is inevitable. I've not had any exceptions to that. I can tell you that I don't fully grasp everything, for certain. There's so much I don't know. There's much I don't grasp. But I've never felt myself, after looking seriously into, let's say, an alleged contradiction, that I haven't been able to find a satisfactory resolution. And sometimes the resolution isn't self-evident, and I think, wow, how am I going to answer that objection, or how does that alleged contradiction really resolve itself? But in time, I find the certainty comes from, if so many others have been satisfactorily solved, this one will be satisfactorily solved as well. And again, this is part of the growing process. Is there pain involved? Yes, there's always pain involved in growth.
Yeah. I just don't want it to, you know, I don't really know where to go now because recently I've, like I said in the beginning, I've extremely backslid. I find myself not really being able to pray the way that I used to pray simply because, you know, someone told me that, you know, any religious experience that I have is just in my brain.
But that's an important point. I mean, look, if all you have is mental assent to logical truth propositions, you're missing the main ingredient. The main ingredient is the life of Christ within you, the indwelling Christ. So when you become a believer, it is not only that you now, let's say you're a Buddhist and believed in the Four Noble Truths, and now you believe in the Four Spiritual Laws. It's not just a transition, a mental transition that is made. There's also a life transition that is made. And again, that life trans mission or that life transition that is made. It doesn't simply burn wildly on its own. It burns wildly because you exercise those steps. You say, well, I don't really feel like praying. Well, the fact of the matter is, when you pray, you'll feel like praying. There's a lot of times I don't feel like witnessing, but when I witness, wow, I think, how could I have ever felt that way? So there are those things that we have as encumbrances because of our sin nature, but it is a matter of being faithful. That matter of being faithful leads to the matter of being fruitful.
Yeah, okay.
Okay?
That helps a lot. Thank you very much.
Well, may God be with you, James, and may he use you for his glory and for the extension of his kingdom. I certainly have a great sense in talking to you that that is the very thing that will happen.
Why, thank you. I appreciate you so much.
Appreciate you calling. Oh, I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Phil. He's listening in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Phil.
Hi, hey. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I was listening to a program recently, and they claim that based upon a survey, 80% of Americans claim to believe in God or some kind of higher power, then that only 9% of Americans call themselves born-again believers. And I've also heard a couple of well-known Christians say themselves that, yes, I'm a Christian, but I'm not one of them born-again believers. What are your thoughts about that, and what are your thoughts about the words born-again?
Well, I mean, it's a word that has taken on the barnacles of time and almost become connotative, but the reality is it's a biblical phrase. It's a biblical moniker. Jesus Christ said this very thing to Nicodemus. And so I don't think that there's any problem whatsoever to go back to the denotative meaning that Jesus imbues into those words, which is that flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit, and therefore we ought not to marvel, as Jesus said, when I say, you must be born again. So there are only born-again believers. There are no other kinds of believers. At the end of the day, we must be born anew or born from above to be a follower or an apprentice of Jesus Christ. It is a spiritual birth that takes place. So we not only recognize the truth, but we embrace the life of Jesus Christ.
Well, all right. I really appreciate that.
Well, you got it, Phil. Thank you so much. And, you know, I've often said there are no real atheists. And the reason I say that is that God has written a knowledge of himself upon the tablet of our consciousness. And therefore, we have an inner knowledge that God exists. But people try to expunge that knowledge. They try to drown it in darkness. But light has come into the world. And we can embrace that light, and as a result of embracing that light, we can experience, enjoy the life of Jesus Christ within. As I've said before, and this is certainly not original to me, the Christian life is not just a changed life, it is an exchanged life, it is the engrafted life, it is the life of Christ within that allows us to move through the tangled web of human existence. Back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As we go to break, do remember the Christian Research Journal. It's an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. You can get a special free edition of the Christian Research Journal by going to the World Wide Web and simply entering the code Fall, and then you also get the other editions at a reduced price. Be right back.
You might blush when you read Solomon's Song of Songs, but it's a beautiful reminder why God created sex. And Hank Hanegraaff wants you to learn more in CRI's new publication, God's Design for Sex. Request your copy of this important book when you call or go online, It's our thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Mention the word sex, and what comes to mind? A risque pop star, racy magazine, or scandalous movie? Well, how about the Bible? That's right, the Bible. The Creator of all things has given us guidelines about sex in His holy word, and the new CRI publication, God's Design for Sex, helps you learn just that. Hank Hanegraaff says we need to know the truth about sex, not so we can thump our Bibles, but so we can compassionately and respectfully communicate God's parameters about sex, so that our joy and others' joy may be complete. Hank wants to send you a copy of this important book, God's Design for Sex, as a thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call and request your copy today, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Let's talk about sex. God's Design for Sex. That's the title of a must-read new CRI publication that equips you with biblical truth about this vital subject matter. The truth is, our Creator purposed sex to be pristine and pure, and He gave us guidelines about sexuality in His Word to make our joy complete. But how do we reclaim a biblical view of sex in a world that's prostituted and perverted this beautiful gift? God's Design for Sex explores the answers from Scripture of how to do just that. And Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you a copy of this important book to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call and request your copy of God's Design for Sex today, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org, equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live, listen to archived programs, 3-minute Ask Hank features, and read articles to help you learn and defend the faith. With this free app, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips, so go to equip.org and download it today. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Al. He's listening in Washington, D.C., Sirius XM 131. Hi, Al.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for the opportunity. I just want to express that I love and appreciate your ongoing ministry, and I pray for continued health to sustain you in your efforts to glorify God.
Thank you.
I read through the Bible, and I love my trip through my journey through Romans, and I'm just kind of running into a problem with, I guess, comprehension in the sense that I know I'm constantly aware of my propensity to sin, and as I like Paul had his own challenges, he expressed the same. But in Romans chapter 7, I just wanted to know if you could offer a bit of a synopsis for better comprehension, I guess, in application to my battle with sin, especially when we talk about the law of sin, the indwelling of sin, or the battles in the flesh. Can you help me with that?
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that Paul is making very clear in Romans chapter 7 is that while we are positionally declared righteous before God, practically we continue to struggle with our sin nature. In other words, Paul is underscoring the powerful lure of sin. And then he is boasting about Jesus Christ in the midst of his weakness and his own failing, recognizing that the closer we get to the righteousness or the holiness of our Creator, the more we see our own sin. And I don't think that ever goes away. So if we have an exemplar who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament epistles who says that the powerful lure of sin is still something that he struggles with, what he's pointing out is the contrast between our sin and the altogether holiness of God, which is something that is echoed in the Old Testament as well. In Isaiah chapter 6, we see Isaiah, who gets a glimpse of the glory of God, and then immediately comes undone. Oh, what a wretched man I am. So you have the holiest man in Israel doing essentially what Paul is doing in the New Testament, describing the powerful lure of sin. And he is quite explicit, for what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. Now, there's a way of overcoming that, and again, this is what the boast of Paul is. The boast of Paul is to say, I am a wretched sinner, but my God is sufficient in the midst of my sin, such that I can embrace the life of Christ by being an imitator of Christ. I can fully experience the life of Christ. So Paul ultimately, and he does this over and over again, points to the crucified life, which is, I no longer live, but Christ now lives in me. That's what I mean when I talk about the difference between a changed life and an exchanged life.
Yes, thank you. I really appreciated that. I just, my comprehension was somewhat distorted, and I felt that I could lean on your understanding on this to help harmonize Paul's will in teaching us about sin. And I thank you for your input.
You got it, Al. Thank you so much for your call. We'll go back to the phone lines now and talk to Melvin. He's listening in Irving, Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Melvin.
Hello, Hank. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
I'm calling because I pastor a small church, you know, 30, 35 people. I've been preaching about a little over 10 years, 15 or so. And I hear you talk a lot about people being in a healthy, well-balanced church. And haven't really had any seminary training, but a lot of study, a lot of different software and online courses and things of that nature to prepare myself. Teach the basics, you know, justification, sanctification, the need for salvation, all of those things. I teach that regularly, some real good books in our Bible class. And I just want to make sure that maybe even though I'm not seminary trained, is that going to hinder the church growth at all, or the growth of not the church, but the people?
Well, I think it's important for you to continue learning, to continue being an apprentice of Jesus Christ, a learner, a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. So you will continue to learn, and as you learn out of the overflow of what you learn, not only about truth, but also about life, you can feed your flock. And, you know, there are many examples throughout church history of people in the exact same condition that you describe yourself in. A.W. Tozer, for example, who has blessed multiplied millions in the past and continues to do so in the present, was not trained in a seminary. He was trained because he loved the Word of God, and he read good books, as you describe that you do, and he continued to grow in grace and knowledge, and as a result of that, out of the overflow of that life and doctrine, you know, of course, Paul said that to Timothy, watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. And he says, don't let anybody look down at you because you're young. He's speaking to Timothy, but set an example for the believers in speech and life and faith, in love and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift. You know, so he's admonishing young Timothy as an apprentice to, and Timothy had no seminary training, to continue to grow in grace and knowledge and to build on the gift that had been given to him. So again, if this is your calling, be vigilant, be diligent, and you can carry on that work with great, great faithfulness and fruitfulness in the kingdom.
Okay, I appreciate that, because I hear, I guess what concerns me is that you hear so much going on, and though I may not have had a lot of training, I do know truth when I hear it, and I hear so much of what's going on in the church today with this crazy doctrine of this declaring and claiming and naming and speaking things into existence and, you know, things of that nature, and it concerns me, and I try as best I can to defend or protect, I guess you say, the people that's under my charge from that type of teaching, and it just concerns me when I hear it in the church a lot.
Well, that's what a shepherd does. So you're demonstrating another attribute. You are a shepherd, and a shepherd protects the flock. The shepherd doesn't let the wolf into the sheep pen. And so you are, again, exemplary in what you're doing in that regard.
Well, I appreciate it, Hank, because I really, when you say that, I sometimes I feel convicted to make sure that I'm on the right path, because I hear that a lot, a healthy, well-balanced church, and it just makes so much sense to me in my spirit until I just feel like I just have to make sure that that's what I'm doing where I am, you know, and in my service to make sure that the church that I serve is a healthy, well-balanced church.
Sure, and what does that mean? I mean, it really means that the church has three legs to it, as it were, so it doesn't topple over. You worship God in spirit and in truth through prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the Word. That's number one. Number two, you're a church that is demonstrating the oneness that is delineated by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, which would be a good chapter to memorize and meditate upon, because that is, in essence, a chapter that really underscores what oneness is all about. We are one body with many members, and each member belongs to all the others. And so we show oneness in contribution. We show oneness in communion. We actually show oneness in baptism. You know, we're baptized as living stones in the temple of God. And so it's not rugged individualism, but we are a community of faith. And then thirdly, it's really important that Christians are equipped to communicate what they believe and why they believe it, so that they can use their well-reasoned answers as springboards or opportunities to reach a lost and searching world, so that this church is no longer inbred, but it is a church that is reaching out to the world, impacting the world. And I was just in with a pastor of a small church in Palo Alto, and I was just amazed. God had given him a big vision, and as a result of the vision God had given him, he was reaching out to the homeless, and that was his particular calling, and doing so in such a marvelous way. And I had the opportunity to see the fruit of that ministry in actual real circumstances. I was so greatly moved by that. Here's a pastor again of a small church that is doing great things for the Lord, because he sees an opportunity, he recognizes the voice of God, and then he acts upon it.
Well, thanks a lot, Hank. Thanks a lot, Hank. You really helped me. I appreciate it.
Well, you got it, Melvin. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray that you would bless Melvin. Use him as an instrument of your grace. Lord, I pray that you would cause him to be a shepherd that leads his flock in worship of you. We are created to worship you. Lord, I pray that his church might be a testimony to the world of oneness, regardless of size. Lord, we do not despise the day of small beginnings. And Lord, I pray that he would also be faithful in equipping his people to go out and reach a lost and searching world. And again, Lord, we do this not by might nor by power, but only through your Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Hank. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You got it. It was a pleasure to talk to you, Melvin. And may God add his riches and his blessings to your wonderful ministry. I'm going to stay right here today an extra hour once we leave the air. Continue answering your calls. If you're hanging on, do be patient. I will get to you. And for the rest of you, you could just call for the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265, and I will continue answering your calls for the next hour once we go off the air today. We'll record my answers to your questions, and I'll play that on a day that I'm traveling somewhere throughout the world. And as we, again, close the broadcast today, I do want to bring to your attention something that is weighing heavily upon my heart, and that is the big deficit that we have built up during the summer months. It is quite substantial, but it's not something that cannot be overcome. And by God's grace, over and over again, he has provided through people just like you, some giving large amounts, some smaller amounts. But I want to lay this before you as a listening audience. If you can help, it would make a very significant difference. For those that are already members of the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, if you can give an extra gift, again, it would be deeply appreciated. And for those who have not yet joined the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, we'd appreciate you considering that prayerfully. When you do, I'd be pleased to send you a personalized copy for your gift of $25 or more a month of my complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. Again, you can check that out on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or you can just give one of our resource consultants a call, that number 888-7000. And the letter CRI. You can write me in this regard as well. Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Again, going to stay here for an extra hour once we go off the air. Continue taking your calls. Hanging on, be patient if you're dialing in. Once again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you want more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or log on to equip.org, where you can listen to the show live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Mention the word sex, and what comes to mind? A risque pop star, racy magazine, or scandalous movie? Well, how about the Bible? That's right, the Bible. The Creator of all things has given us guidelines about sex in His Holy Word, and the new CRI publication, God's Design for Sex, helps you learn just that.
Hank Hanegraaff says we need to know the truth about sex, not so we can thump our Bibles, but so we can compassionately and respectfully communicate God's parameters about sex, so that our joy and others' joy may be complete. Hank wants to send you a copy of this important book, God's Design for Sex, as a thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call and request your copy today, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.